Welcome to Magical Mondays with the Psychic Cowgirl Shannon and Psychic Sidekick Virginia. We will be discussing metaphysical topics, psychic and intuitive development, and self-empowerment. Join us for information, laughter, and connection each Monday. Thanks for being here. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Magical Mondays with myself and Virginia, who hasn't called in yet, so we'll just wait for her to do that. And today we are talking about animal communication. I'm drinking my tea. Feels like a tea kind of night. Oh, there's Virginia. Yay! With all these crazy, weird, mixed up energies, I've been drinking a lot of tea lately. Hi, Virginia.
Hi. Sorry.
That's okay. I had to totally restart my computer, and I wasn't sure I was going to get here on time.
Well,
but we're here.
So,
yay.
I called like 2 minutes ago, and it was like, oh, 2 minutes, 25 seconds. I said, oh, okay, I'll just call back in a minute. I forgot. What do you do?
What do you do? You're here now. That's all that matters.
Right.
So how is the rest of your day today?
Busy. I've been running around, it feels like. Not the whole time. I kind of relaxed and watched TV for a little bit, but then I had to run out to the store, and I've just been trying to, I don't know, I feel frantic. I feel like I'm rushing to get a bunch of things done, and I don't know what I got done.
After our session today, I ended up, like, rearranging furniture and hauling furniture over from my other house, and the boys cleaned their rooms. I don't know what got into us. It was weird. Then I had a lady call for a session, and I'm puffing, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I was moving furniture. Normally, I don't pant on the phone when I'm booking your session. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm giving Virginia
session, right?
A shout-out because she did a life coaching session with me today for her classes, and it was fantabulous.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I have to say I was a little concerned going into it because I thought, you know, Shannon's really in tune with herself and really kind of has it together. So I'm not really sure how this is going to go.
Yeah, and then holy haycrops, right? I did have something that needed work.
Yeah.
I was ready.
I could tell.
The timing was impeccable. I want to do one other shout-out to Connor, my little friend who came on the radio show when we did Psychic Kids. He sent me a message yesterday because I popped into his awareness, and so he wanted to make sure that I got his message, so he had his mom text me, and it was about me needing to spend time in the sunshine and rest. And so I had some choices to make yesterday, and I chose to rest in the sunshine, and it made all the difference. So thank you so much, Connor.
I love those kids. I'm yours, too.
I'm not offended. But Connor and Kobe are pretty special, too.
I mean, aside from Kobe just being hilarious, Connor, like, that is a kid after my own heart. I could completely identify with everything he said, and I just, like, instantly felt, like, fell in love with him.
I know how you feel.
He wants to have that.
I love
that. A lot of people.
I did tell them that we'll make another plan for them to come back on because I know, well, Kobe didn't end up being nervous, but Connor was nervous and Cordell was nervous and wouldn't talk. So I told them that we would give them another chance. Now that they know how it feels and that it's not as scary, they could come on and share some more stuff because it was fun.
How about your boys? Did they feel a little more comfortable after that first time?
Yes.
Okay.
Brody will chat way more. I had to actually stop him from chatting towards the end and just tell him to wait because we had to cover some other stuff. So he's ready to talk on again anytime. I don't know if Cordell will yet. He wasn't so sure.
Oh.
He might. But he's young, so
that's
okay. I was
going to say he's the younger one, right?
Yeah, he's the youngest of all of them. So should we jump right in? Let's talk about animal communication. Woohoo!
Sure. I'm still kind of like trying to get my voice back. So if I start crackling in and out or sounding like, you know, a pubescent teenage boy, I'm sorry.
We'll just laugh at you and keep going.
Okay, I can work with that.
Okay, so let's start with the fact that you offer this as one of your services, yes?
I do.
Okay.
Actually, I think I say this about every service, but it's actually one of my favorites.
I think I do too,
but I really, really love the connection with animals. They're so innocent and pure. They're like children, you know? Like they have that innocence and pureness to their energy, and it's so, I don't even know how to really describe it. I just love it. I love having that connection. I love having the connection with my own animals so that I can communicate with them. I love going over to my sister-in-law's house, and because when I get there, they have a dog, and I'm the only one who gets it. You know what I mean? Like, he can look at me, and we, you know, he knows that I get it, and I fully understand what he's going through and what he's feeling and what he's thinking, and I can tell he appreciates that when I get there, you know? I just love it. I love it being that person, that connection, you know, when, you know, the dog's in a house of four adults and, you know, everyone has some kind of connection to their own pet, but I understand him a little differently, you know? Like, I understand what he's wanting and what he's trying to express that they might not kind of get. And so I love being that middleman, you know, being able to relay the messages that they're not understanding from him, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So I have a Virginia story because I had her tune into my horses for me for fun. Well, one I really wanted to know. The other one I already knew. So it was even more fun then, right?
Yeah.
So I did put a picture, if it's showing, of me on my one horse, Duke, the dark brown one. I don't know if it's showing on the blog talk pictures, but he's there. So she wanted to start with Duke, which does not surprise me. Duke and I have an amazing connection. He actually was not my horse. He was my ex-husband's horse when we started dating. I just rode Duke, and that was it. He was mine. And then when we divorced, Duke came with me. Actually, he decided Duke had to come with me, and he was right, because Duke and I just have a connection. Duke would buck other people off or kick at them or be mean to them, but he never did that to me. He just took care of me. We're pals. And I dream about him, and we've had many lifetimes, and yeah, he's cool. So when Virginia tuned into Duke, she said, oh, we have to keep a close eye on him because he had some heaviness in his chest. And he's old. He's like in his middle 20s, and so for a horse, that's pretty old. But he has a good life now. So this is what she said. He's got a very regal feel to him. Regal and established, he feels to be the older of the two, which he is, and very picky. He likes what he likes, wants what he wants, but isn't prissy or overly fussy or snobby about it. Almost like if you don't give him what he wants or needs, he'll do it himself. But he also feels so loving and faithful and gentle when he wants to be. He's really reminding her of an old man, someone who is set in their ways, but also has that gentle, loving side. She felt that he likes where he's at, this home. He likes a bit of isolation, like some things are just too busy for him and he doesn't want to be around or deal with that. Again, like an old man. That was so very, very, very true. if Duke likes you, he'll do almost anything. My husband can barely catch him because they don't have a connection. Yet if I go out to catch him and he tries to, you know, pull his little shenanigans, I say, Duke, be a gentleman. He has to stop and let me catch him.
Aww.
It works every time. So I taught my son, who rides him now, Brody's 9, to do that, and he can catch Duke.
Nice.
Brent has to chase him around and around, but no, we can just catch him. We just have to say, Duke, be a gentleman, and he doesn't have a choice. It's so very cool. I can catch him in the middle of the pasture with those words. And he is very particular. He gets offended if he has to do things that he thinks a colt does and not him because, you know, he's old now and he's already done all that.
Right.
And he gets offended very easily if you do that to him. When I was roping last weekend or the weekend before, and I was not catching and not catching and missing some more, and I'm riding along, and Duke does this great, big, huge, dramatic sigh. Like, this is just taking so long, Shannon. I said, hey, buddy, you do know that most cowboys would blame their horse when they miss? Just saying. And he laughed at me. And he still kept doing what he was doing. He didn't stop. And he'll fake that he has a sore leg just so I won't ride him. He's just Duke. He just does what he can. He's so funny. Do you remember tuning into him?
I do, and I really loved him. I loved his energy and that regal feeling he had. And he reminded me a lot of, like, a grandfather who... You know, like, grandfathers in their 80s and they're, you know, nah, 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 nah. They don't want to deal with all the busyness of kids running around, and they don't want, you know, they've always got something to gripe about, and they're set in their ways and they're not changing. But, you know, you get that special granddaughter to come in the room and, you know, give a look and a grandpa, and he melts. And that's totally... what Duke reminds me of. Totally.
And that's exactly what he's like. He's always been that way. If he likes you, or if I introduced him to somebody and said they're okay, they can ride you, he's fantastic. But if he doesn't like you, or he doesn't think I like the person, he'll act a bit bronchy and a bit like a colt and just do some, you know, weird things just to keep them people on their edge. It's fantastic.
Because he knows the game and he knows how to play it.
Absolutely does. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And you should tell everyone the story of afterwards when what you told me after when you went to go check on him.
So I walked out of my pasture. I knew Virginia was going to tune into my horses. So I walk out of my pasture and... You know, when a horse is sleeping, they're just flat, and they look dead. And we always giggle, you know, uh-oh, our horses are dead. And lots of times I go out and just check because we have Duke and two other ones that are older. And I want to make sure they're not dead. And so he was, like, flat, stretched out, and I was like, oh, no, I hope he's not dead. Virginia's going to tune into him. Oh, my gosh, that would be energetically horrifying if she tuned into him and he was dead. Duke, you can't be dead. So he lifts his head up and looks at me, and I'm like, oh, good. Phew.
I just thought it was so funny that you had said, oh my gosh, I can't have him turning into a dead horse.
No, that would be horrible. Horrible. Yeah, and then he looks at me like, ha-ha. Psych.
Joke on you.
And he's totally like an old man because we have some younger horses that we've gotten in the last couple of years, and he just doesn't really want anything to do with them.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, they're fine or whatever. Yeah, whatever. But, yeah, no, I don't need to deal with them. I'll go over here with my older ladies and we'll hang out. One time, just when Brent and I had been just, we weren't married that long. And so Duke came over to live with Brent's horses. and he had has another horse, and his name's Warpath, and he's an older male too. I was giving Warpath some apple treats, and Duke got really offended and wouldn't come up to me. He was mad at me because I was, like, giving this other boy attention.
Shame on you, Shannon.
I know. I laughed so hard. I had to, like, suck up for a little bit. It was after that he pretended that he had a sore leg. He's just such a character. So I'm going to tell you about my other horse. Now, Sienna is a big old paint horse, and I've had her since she was 6 months old. And she went through a fence and skinned her leg, and I had to doctor her, and she spent a month at the vet clinic. And so we have a special bond. She helped keep my sanity when my marriage fell apart, and I'm the one that started her. I did the first ride. I did all that stuff, and I was riding her a lot. And then got married again later on and had kids, and I didn't ride her so much, and she grew. She grew a lot, and she is my princess, and I spoiled her. And so she would want to be, like, right beside me, and she spooked me. So my husband took over, and he was giving her some training and lessons in manners, and I was a little intimidated to ride her. So he took her to horsey school, and she did okay. She acted a little bit because she's sassy. She has a very sassy energy, nothing like her owner.
Oh, no, not at all.
Not at all. So I had Virginia tune into her because I was feeling like I'd let Sienna down because I wasn't able to ride her very much. So she tuned in, and she got a young, playful female energy. She got a glimpse of Darla from Little Rascals, sassy, walking by, teasing the boys. Oh, she does. A very strong, wild energy. She keeps seeing a horse running at a very fast pace. As if I'm the horse and I can see everything whizzing by me quickly and I can feel the wind. Is this something she likes to do? And yes, she likes to be free. She likes her freedom, which is just like me, we learned today in our coaching session. So after Virginia tuned in, I was able to ride Sienna. Now I ride her all the time.
Well, because I don't have the reading in front of me, so I'm trying to remember. Because wasn't it that she was understanding that you slowed down for the reasons that you did, but she wasn't going to stand by and wait for you, right?
Right. And she didn't have any problems with it. She just wasn't going to, like, wait around and be lazy. She was just doing her own thing. Yes, and now we're fine again. Although she did try to lay down, but she gets tummy aches. She has allergies.
But see, that's what I was saying earlier. That's the thing that I love is being able to, because you were even able to tune in, you know? And you know how it is. Sometimes if you're too close to the situation, it's hard to get an accurate read or feel because you're too emotionally involved. So I love the fact that I can be that voice for someone or something that can't otherwise verbalize their feelings.
And see, that is so true. I mean, I can tune in. Duke is no problem for me. Sienna was because I was feeling too much of my own guilt about her, and guilt and fear will block your intuitive connections. So having you tune in and checking things around made all the difference for me, and now I ride her.
And I love that.
It's great. So any of you listening, if you have a pet and you're wondering what's going on, ask Virginia to tune in for you.
Thanks, Shannon.
You're welcome. I don't do it as an offering. I'll do it for friends. But, yeah. I have too much other stuff going on, so it's not one of my offerings, but it is one of Virginia's, just saying.
Well, I think some people also wonder how it is that we can tune in to and communicate with animals. And I can tell you why I can.
Hey.
And I'll let Shannon tell us why she or how she's able to. But for me, it's the same as accessing anyone's energy. They're still a living being who has a soul and has the energy to access. So just as I would tune into Shannon, for example, if I was giving your reading, and just as I would tune into your energy, I'm able to tune into the animal's energy and get their, you know, feel their vibe or what they're trying to say or relay or whatever it is, you know?
Yes. And do you, how do you get the messages? How do you hear or feel them?
Sometimes physically, like with Duke, I could feel the heaviness in my chest. But I also hear it as if, like when you're speaking and I'm hearing you speak in my ears, I can hear something that they're trying to say, or I'll get glimpses of things. Like I saw, you know, like I felt like I was running through with all of the grass, like whizzing past me. Like I can, I feel it, I hear it, I see it. Just like I would any reading. It's really the exact same.
Okay. Do you find animals are sometimes easier than people?
Yes, because they like are much like children, so they're not filtered and they're not blocking in any way. You know, when you do a reading for a person, sometimes, you know, they'll be a little scared about what they're going to hear or what, like, their energy is usually, a human's energy is usually a little more anticipatory of something or possibly blocking, or it's just a little more excited, you know? And an animal is a lot more subtle and calmer, and so that makes it easier to tune into their energy for me.
Okay. I have another question for you. So
okay.
You've tuned into dogs, you've tuned into cats, you've tuned into horses. Do you find that each species has a different type of energy?
Ooh, that's a good question. Not really. I think just as each individual person has their own energy, I think the animals have their own individual energy, and it's not necessarily species specific.
Cool. I find that too. I find it's more personality specific than species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I'm trying to think of examples. I mean,
I will say this, though. My cows don't have a lot to say. I should pick a cow and give you a picture and have you tune in. I just find, you know, the horses, they can have stuff to say to me, or just, you know, stuff going on, energy going on. The bulls do, especially, you know, when it's spring. They have a definite one-track energy. But the cows, they just, you know, it's eating some more. They don't have a lot to say.
I wonder if it's because, this is just what is coming to me right now, like, with a cow, it's almost as if they have a specific role and a specific purpose.
Yes.
And they know that.
Yes,
so
they
like,
do know that.
Why say much of anything? Because, I'm here, I'm doing my job, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and there's not much more to say about it.
They don't.
You know?
And they don't feel, like, good or bad about it. They just are.
Right.
They just have a very unconditional energy. They just are.
Like, it is what it is, and they're indifferent. And
very indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I get, like, a big read on the cow's energy is when they're doing something they shouldn't, like a gate got rubbed open or they're running.
Like escaping.
Yeah. Yes. And then I get, you know, I can feel their energy, and I look out and there's all the cows running, and I know I have to go chase them. That's the only time their energy gets bigger. The horses, it's like they have a lot going on all the time.
And do you think that the cows do this for fun, like for themselves, because they're looking to break up the monotony and bring a little excitement in?
No, I think it's totally accidental.
Oh, okay.
Well, I shouldn't say that, because I have Annabelle, my diva longhorn, and so she likes to find ways to get out. She thinks it's funny. She doesn't like boundaries or fences. She likes freedom, too.
Like, it's funny to get out, or it's funny because you guys have to go and chase them?
Both. Because she's the one that will walk by my big window to say, I'm thirsty now. Could you, like, open the gate and let me back in? Because I can jump out, but I'm not jumping back in. She has my neighbors trained. If we're not home, they'll see Annabelle in the yard. They'll stop and open the big gate for her.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yes. I meet new people, and they'll say, oh, do you live somewhere where that longhorn bull that gets out all the time is? Yeah, that's Annabelle, and she's actually a cow, and she likes to visit the neighbors. Her energy's different. Somewhere along the line, she decided she's privileged, and that's how she lives, and she's good with that.
And she forgot that she's a cow who has a job to do, supposed to be indifferent.
I think so, yeah. Because she's also, her energy's different. I don't know, it's because she's, like, different looking than the rest of the herd. So, you know, when we sell the calves, and if they, you know, they all get weaned, she goes, oh. And she'll go lay around and enjoy, you know, the first few hours. Then she realizes, oh, I guess my baby's not coming back. So then they'll moo. You know, they only moo for maybe half a day. And it just seems like it's because they think they should. Because they quit really fast. They don't moo and miss their calves for hours and hours. Oh, I lost Virginia, but she's back now. Kara's still talking. Hi.
It started beeping at me, and I looked down, and it said call failed. I have no idea what happened.
That's weird. And you know what? Now that I look at the switchboard, we have a whole bunch of callers.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. You ready to start taking some?
Sure.
All right. Kate, this person's waited for quite a while. Hello, caller.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. And what is your name?
My name is Deb. And
where are you going?
I had given up a poodle mix. He was he's almost a year old now. He's probably right at a year now. His name was Ted. And I want to see, do you have a message from him? I have a feeling that I've had a dream where he has come to me and licked me in the face and is asking me, when am I coming to get him?
So do you think that dream is happening because you're missing him, or?
You know, I think it's probably a little bit of both. I don't know if you can get in touch with his, emotional side and see if he has a message.
Do you pick up anything, Virginia?
I'm not at the moment because I'm not in, like, reading mode, unfortunately. But I'm trying to think of how, without going into reading mode, how I can answer this for you.
So you had your poodle and you had to give him to somebody or give him up?
What I did, and what had happened was a week ago, I had him microchipped when I got him. So anyway, when I had given him up because several circumstances. But anyway, I had come home from work, and there was two messages on the door. One from the dog catcher, the local dog catcher, and one from the health department saying that he has bit someone. And so anyway, naturally, it just thrown me into a panic because they made it sound so urgent that I needed to get in touch with them right away concerning the dog bite. Well, when I talked to him the next morning at 7:30, we had found out that it wasn't even him, that the person who had said, who had given the address had gave 104 when it was actually 10:04. But in the whole realm of all of this, I had talked to, you know, the owners and everything, and I knew that he hasn't been with them much because they're very wealthy people, and he has been kept at a daycare or a lodging facility. And I really feel like that he is missing that everyday love that you get, you know, when I used to come home every day to him. And one of the reasons I gave him up is because I felt that I could give him to someone that would be with him all the time. But it's just the opposite. They are like jet setters, and, you know, they have two homes, and one in Maine and the other one in California, and they go back and forth all the time. And when they do, they don't take him. He is left. And it just saddens me. I feel like he's been coming to me, reaching out to me some way, and asking me to come and get him. And I want to know, is this true, or is this me wanting him back?
Well, I think, like you had said, he's probably missing that personal relationship, you know, that he doesn't have a connection with anyone now where he's at if they're not really at home and spending time with him like you were. But is there not a way for you to get him back since
I can get
now
him
realized?
Back. No, I can get him back. There was never any money exchanged hands or nothing like that. And this was the thing, when this all happened, I had told them that he had been, you know, he's been microchipped. I had microchipped him, you know, and I mean, it's just like everything is sort of has fallen into place for me to come and get him because I just found out that when you microchip an animal, it is like a registration for a car, that animal belongs to you and is your possession until you sign it over and they can put the new information to the new owner in it, you know, in the microchip.
Well,
and
I feel like
it's been a message. It's a spirit, you know, I think it's, that, I mean, all this type of stuff has happened, and it's like I don't understand how come it's happened.
Well, I think that's your answer right there, though. If, you know, all of these things are coming together to kind of set the stage for you to go get him back, and you're having these dreams of him, and you feel like he's asking when you're coming to get him, I think maybe right there in itself is your sign to try and get him back.
Okay.
I agree. Because I'm hearing a lot of guilt in your energy that you gave him up. So why don't you go get him back?
Okay.
If it makes you happy
to
have him in your life, then he's happy to be there.
He is. I mean, he was so happy with me, you know. And even though I had a small apartment, we just would have so much fun. I mean, even though I worked a long day, I came home and walked him, and he came in, and he would jump up on the ottoman and look at me like, okay, do you want to play or do you want me to come over and snuggle with you? I mean, I almost read him like a book. You know what I mean?
See? Mm-hmm. I think you need to get him back. I think you will be so much happier.
Okay. I agree.
Well, now my next question is, how smooth will this go? I mean, you know, I don't know how smoothly this will tell the people who, I mean, they are very, very wealthy people. And like I said, there was never any money exchanged. The paper, they never got the paper with the microchip or anything. You know, I wanted him to have a good home, but I don't feel like that. You know, it's funny. It's like even my little home, I feel like he's telling me, was better than the big, humongous mansion he's in.
Why don't you just trust yourself and trust the universe? And just go do it.
Okay.
Don't put obstacles in your way that might not even exist. Just trust.
Okay.
And go get him.
Okay, I'm going to go get him. You know, I named him Ted because on his registration paper, I came up with a name, a biblical name, and on his little papers, it's Theodore because that means gift from God. You picked up on my guilt because I feel like I gave away my gift from God.
And I think if you're honest and you tell the people who have him know all of this, I think they will understand that.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Just explain how much you're missing him.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And trust.
I will do it, girls. Well, thank you.
Yay, thanks for calling us.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed listening to your show.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. All right, bye-bye.
And I do believe our animals do speak to us. We really do.
We believe it, too.
Yep. Okay.
All right, good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, I'm going to take another caller. It just takes a second for my computer to do what I want it to. Hello, caller.
Hello. Hi there.
How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you. My name is Maria. And
where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Virginia.
Oh, that's exciting.
I've enjoyed listening to your show as well, and I have a question about my dog Coco. I am wondering if you can get I've had her with someone else for a while because the people that I moved in with kind of did a U-turn on whether I could bring her with me or not. It's actually family, and I'm only staying with them temporarily, but I'm hoping to slowly bring her into the environment, and I'm wondering how she's doing where she is and if she's thinking what she's thinking about being in a totally different environment.
Okay. Well, we're not like really tuning in and giving readings, but here's the thing. What you know about your dog? Your dog is attached to you, yes?
Yes.
So she's probably wondering where you are.
Yeah, I mean,
How long her visit at this other place is going to be, because she wants to be with you. But it's also like she understands that it's only temporary. What kind of dog is it? Is she a bigger dog?
Mm-hmm. She's a mix of German Shepherd and, a little bit of Golden Retriever. She's mostly German Shepherd.
Because I was feeling a bigger dog. So, and they're very smart, right?
Yeah.
Do you talk to her telepathically?
No, I've never tried to do that. And I didn't know she was going to be at this place for it's a private home, but I paid to have her there. I didn't know she was going to be there that long. She's been there a couple months. Not too happy about that.
No doubt. It just feels like she does know that it's only temporary, that she's just waiting for you to be ready for her again. She's got a very soft energy, doesn't she?
Yes.
you like to chase things when you go for walks, imaginary things?
I don't know if she chases things, because I always had her on a leash, but she likes to stop and sniff everything.
Does she strain sometimes? And, like, I don't even know where all this is coming from. I didn't know I was going to do a little reading.
Does she what? Does she what?
Does she, like, kind of strain at things and want to chase something, and you don't know what she's going to chase? It just because you don't see anything?
She definitely pulls at the leash, and I want to go in this direction, I want to go in that direction. She wants to do everything but walk and get her exercise. She just wants to go off and investigate things. Yeah.
You know what? Why don't you send me an email? And I'll tell you what I'm picking up. I'm not going to do a reading over the air because it's too energy draining, but I am picking up some really interesting things for you. I have no idea why, but send me an email after.
What is your, I'm trying to have a find a pen. What is your email?
Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, at psychiccowgirl.com.
Oh, that's easy to remember. Okay. Okay.
What was your name again?
I'm Maria.
Maria. I see. I totally forgot because for some reason I tuned in. Okay. I'll expect your email and I'll tell you what I got. I'm just going to make myself a little note.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. What a gift.
And I wanted to ask, when you brought her to where she's at now, did you just bring her or did you have a conversation with her telling her what was going on?
I just dropped her and petted her a lot. And I've never tried to have, I mean, I talk to her, you know, and if you want to play, I mean, I do simple things, but I don't have conversations with her. I didn't know that was possible.
I was initially picking up on a little bit of confusion, and that's why I wanted to ask if you had a conversation. And that's a big thing that a lot of people don't do. It's, you know, they don't realize that, you know, they can simply sit down with their pet and have a conversation. And they really are like people. They just don't communicate in the same way that we do. But they can understand what we say to them. If you think about it, you know, you can train a dog to listen to commands that you tell them so they understand you and they hear you. So I think it might have made things a little bit easier had you had the conversation. And I know you can't go back and change that. But just in the future, when you do go back to pick her up, let her know. You know, go in a room together, just the two of you, or go out to the park where you're kind of secluded, and just tell her like you would tell your friend or your child, or, you know, I'm really sorry that it happened like this. I'm really sorry that I didn't explain it to you and it created some confusion, but this is why it had to be like this, and this is how we're going to be now. You know, if you just simply explain what is going on and why it's happening, it makes it a little easier for the pet as well, because then they go into the situation knowing, just like we like to have an idea of what we're getting into. You know, just, they really do like the same thing. They love knowing what is going on because they don't really like the confusion or, you know, the change. They get very attached and very comfortable in their environments. And so when there's a change, it creates all this confusion, just like it would for you. If you were, you know, picked up from one place and brought to another, you're not going to know what's going on or what to do, you know? So I think that's important for anyone with pets to always try and keep that in mind and remember that they really do hear us and understand us. And it's really not that odd or out of the ordinary to simply sit down and talk to them like you're talking to another person, because they get it. They just don't communicate back in the same manner. But they will walk away with an understanding of what you just said to them. Even if it's, you know, having to take a trip to the vet for some shots or something, you know, let them know. I'm really sorry. Don't tell them until you get in the car, because then you might get resistance prior. So get in the car and let them know, you
you know, I'm really sorry that we're going to do this, but this is for your health, and this is what's required, and it won't take long, and it won't hurt bad, and I'll get you a treat afterwards. You know what I mean? Just soften the blow, but get him in the car first.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy who takes care of her, he's very nice, and he said that the first couple or few days or a while, she paced constantly, like, while she was awake. I guess not knowing what was going on. I didn't know it. He didn't tell me that initially, but, you know, and I felt so bad. Yeah. She's been moved
just
around a lot.
Time. It's true. Tell them what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And you can do it telepathically. Just sit in a quiet room and have a picture of her if you have one or something. Just really concentrate on her and have her in your mind and kind of filling up your energy to try and tune into her, and then tell her telepathically, you know, I'm really sorry that you're still there. I didn't plan on you being there this long. This is why. I'm sorry that I didn't explain it to you prior, but I'm going to be there soon to get you. You know, this is only temporary. Whatever it is that you need to get off your chest and let her know, you can do that.
Yeah, I'm just worried that she's forgetting about me. And I guess that's an irrational fear.
It is irrational.
But
she's not.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll definitely send you an email.
Okay.
Oh, I miss her so much.
No kidding.
Yeah. I took
her
over.
I have three cats. And I do have one cat that I have to explain to her if I'm leaving for a few days, or she will leave too and not come back until I come back.
Well, wait a minute. When you explain to her, then she doesn't do that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And if I don't, if my husband will always say, and did you tell Dina what's going on so that I don't have to worry and phone you and say your cat's missing? Because he does. It was the other cat, the big orange one that went missing. The cat, Alex, is missing. Do you know if he's coming back? Yes, he's coming back. As I'm 7.5 hours away.
Oh,
they do get it, though. Just take the time.
Yeah, my poor dog, I took her over from my roommate. He was just going to get rid of her when she moved. And she took over for her father, who is permanently disabled in a nursing home. And so she's been moved from our original home to my friend, to me, to the sky, in the space of, like, you know, a year and
aww,
16 months of that. And so I just feel terrible. I will totally have a conversation whether I didn't know I could do that.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm guessing it's better in person, right?
You know what?
I mean,
either way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just don't know what the guy...
Easier in person, but given the circumstances right now, it is completely possible for you to do it telepathically and her still get it. And
yes.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll try to do it. I go visit her. I don't know what the guy would think if I started talking to her.
Just whisper then. Or even when you're petting her, do it telepathically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that. That's what I'll do. That'll be easier. Yeah.
Hey, we know all about that, because sometimes we don't need our people around us to know we're actually talking to our animals. Your cat told me all your secrets. It doesn't work that way, but that would be fun.
That would be fun.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you have other callers. I don't want to hog your time. I'm very grateful that I got through.
Great.
Well,
thank you for calling us. And fire me an email, and I'll tell you what happened.
I will. Thank you, Sharon.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we do have another caller.
This is fine.
Hi, caller.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. My name is Darlene from Florida. And I've been wanting to be a animal communicator for a while now. Can you just give me some tips as far as how did you start hearing what the animals had to say?
Well, for me, I was
taking part in a little group intuition development, and on one of the meetings when we were together, one of the people that were also part of it asked to have their test, I think it was two cats tuned into, and I thought, I've never done this before, but do I tell them? Like, what do I do? I didn't know. But then all of a sudden, my inner voice kind of kicked in and said, and I heard, you know, it's still an energy, just tune in. So that's what I did, and I was pleasantly surprised that it was much easier than I thought it was. And that's kind of what started it for me. And so then I realized that, you know, I can talk to my own animals and I can talk to other animals around me. And for me, it's just tuning into the energy.
Into the energy. But what? How do you know, I mean, do you get pictures in your mind? Or do you get actual sentences? What?
When I'm talking to, like, my animals or, you know, animals that are in the family, I do get full sentences. You know, they telepathically, I fully have full conversations. With readings that I've done, there's been a couple of times that I've had the conversations, but it's kind of a mixture of everything, and each reading is different. So, you know, sometimes like I was telling Shannon earlier, sometimes I'll get the physical sensations, I'll see things, I'll hear things. So it's always a combination of things. It's never one specific manner that it all happens for me.
Yeah. So you didn't take any classes or anything. You were just with a group that were, and you were building on your intuition?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that's the first thing, is to build on your intuition?
Right, because when you're talking to an animal, you're intuitively communicating. So, at least for me, I am. And so to have, you know, be developing my intuition and, you know, kind of nurturing it and feeding it and, you know, doing what I need to do in that area, it helped me be more comfortable and in tune with myself so that I was able to be more comfortable and in tune to the energies around me.
And I have a tip for validating the information you get. So when it's animals you know, you have an idea of their personality, right? So
right.
When you're tuning in and you're getting the messages, see if it matches their personality.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you'll know that you're tuned in.
Okay. It's hard because I don't have any animals of my own. I did foster two kittens, and that was great. They were feral kittens, and I came a long way with them, but I was going away, so I had to give them up. But I really did relate to these two little kittens, you know?
Well, if you take any intuition classes or anything to develop your intuition, to communicate with an animal, all you're doing is you're putting your focus on them instead of, like, the person or the situation. You're just focusing on that animal and then just see what kind of information you get.
Okay.
And if it's somebody else's animal, you can say, okay, is your cat like this? Does your cat have a bit of attitude at dinner time and you need to feed him when he's hungry and it's not now but right now? You know, you just have to practice and say what kind of information you're getting and get someone to validate it for you.
Okay.
That's how you build confidence, right? It's just like any intuition exercise.
Okay.
Just try it. See what happens.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
And have fun.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night now.
So Moonwatcher in the chat room is saying about her daughter getting a cat and them having spats. And Virginia had the same thing, didn't you, when you had got your kitty?
Yeah, well, much like the one caller, we had gotten Bubba first. He's 5 and a half, and he had lived with, you know, one person. He was rescued from a shelter by the previous owner, and he was the younger of two cats, so he had a companion, and his older companion had died, and within a month and a half, she had to get rid of him. So we got him. So he went through a lot of changes, and he hid for the first probably week that he was here. He did not want anything. You know, I was the only one who was able to get close to him if he was hiding behind the couch, and I would be able to coax him out a little bit, but he would go right back to hiding. And then about 2 months after that, I had the bright idea to get a kitten because I thought, you know, maybe he needed a companion, and that did not go over well. Bubba did not want any part of Cyrus. He hissed at him and growled at him, and he was not happy. So I just had to keep reassuring him that it was okay, and I doped him up a little bit with some catnip, and they became instant friends. But my husband was still kind of struggling with Bubba because Bubba was always closer to me, always came to me, and didn't really go by my husband at all. And my husband always said, he wants nothing to do with me. I don't get it. And I pointed out to my husband, I said, but how open and friendly is your energy to Bubba? Because my husband was waiting for Bubba to come to him as opposed to my husband going to Bubba. And so as soon as he got that realization, he started to go to Bubba more. And now Bubba goes to my husband all the time. They are like best friends now. Like Bubba would jump in the bed and would lay on my left side because Ken lays to my right. So Bubba would lay on my left side so that he was nowhere near Ken. Now he jumps in the bed and lays in between us because he likes being by both of us now and doesn't want one of us to feel slighted. He wants us to know that he's sharing the love with both of us.
Cute. I'm getting a hit about a male cat who does not like his cat litter.
It might be mine because Bubba has...
Definitely a boy cat, and he does not like that cat litter. Does he make a big mess with it?
Kind of, yeah. Cyrus makes a huge mess with it, too, but Bubba has peed in the corner in the kitchen quite a few times, and I was trying to understand it, and I thought it was because Cyrus was terrorizing him when he was in the litter box. Cyrus would jump on top of it and swat at him.
I just get a hit about a male cat. He does not like the cat litter. If you have scented, change it. If you don't have scented, maybe he needs a scent. I don't know. He doesn't like the cat litter. Not happy.
Well, I will. I just bought a huge thing of litter, too, so he might have to wait. But
it might be Moonwatcher's cat. I'm not sure, but there is a male cat. Not happy about the cat litter.
Yeah,
not my cat.
Litter
yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere in front of our boxes, there's litter all over. And like I said, I was concerned with him peeing in the corner, but that could be from the terrorizing. It could be Moonwatcher's cat.
Funny, I don't do this. I don't, like, tune in for animals very often, so this is kind of entertaining to me, but I guess I need to learn how to shut it off during radio show. Oh, well, it's kind of fun. So they're telling me, like, 40-some seconds.
Already?
Any last minute? I know, didn't this go by fast?
Very fast.
Any last-minute advice about tuning into animals? I love your reminder about actually talking to them. Tell them what's going on.
I think that's important because so easily we forget, you know, or it doesn't even occur to us that we can do that.
Yes. And sure, they might be listening, but they might not. So you might just want to take those extra minutes to say, you know what, I'm leaving, but I'll be back in this many days.
Exactly. They like to understand what's going on, too.
Yes, just like people.
So next week, Dana is going to be back on with us, and we're going to be talking about superstitions again. So fun.
Yes. Superstition, myths, and folklore. Whatever we come across, it sounds fascinating. So I think it is Moonwatcher's cat. I was seeing white. And your cats aren't white, are they, Virginia?
My one is an orange tabby, so he's kind
no,
of
No, it
orange.
Wasn't orange for sure.
Okay.
I think it's her cat that doesn't like
litter.
The litter. If he's kind of a character, he... This is him for sure. He's kind of hilarious. Moonwatcher, you should watch him next time he goes, if you happen to see him. See if he, like, lifts his feet and kind of flicks it. Because I get that image, too. It's entertaining. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in, all the callers. I know some left. Sorry we didn't get to you, but that's okay. It went by fast. You can call
Very
in
fast.
Next time. Okay, see everybody next week.
Bye.